B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably gonna talk about it.
Come on, man. You know I only surf Transformer sites when there's girls around so they can see how cool I am.
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's Nerd Radio. Wherever you get your podcast, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network and all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. I am your host, Chuck Bean, joined by my compatriots, my co-hosts, my buddies, Al Beck.
I'm here.
And James.
I've never been someone's co-patriot before.
I know.
Congratulations. Sounds like there's a lot of responsibilities that go along with that. Like, you know, the best man at your wedding. Like, what do I have to do as your co-patriot?
As a compatriot?
Yeah, or compatriot.
Yeah.
Whatever the word is. I've never heard it before.
I think it's something like Hamilton era. That might be where I picked it up.
Oh, you're watching Disney Plus,
oh,
huh?
Yeah. No, I watched Hamilton.
Come on, sing us your favorite song from Hamilton.
Oh no. La da 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 da. I love the King George guy.
That's pretty good. It probably sounds much better on Disney Plus though.
It sounds way better on Disney Plus. Absolutely. It's weird that you put me on the spot and said sing your favorite Hamilton song and that didn't immediately pop in my head because it's been in my head for like a month now.
Really? Well, I'll be honest, I don't think there's any other person in the world I would say sing me your favorite Hamilton song, too. So.
Well, I appreciate that I'm the one.
Yeah. Now special place like, in my heart.
I feel like I did some homework and I was rewarded for
it. Yeah, you paid off.
That's awesome.
It's like giving the dog a treat when it goes potty outside.
Yeah.
You guys want me to leave you alone or something?
It's just a love fest.
Al, you sing me your favorite song from Hamilton, though.
I haven't watched Hamilton.
Okay, sing me your favorite song from MASH.
Through early morning fog, I see.
He knows the words.
I didn't realize we're so musically talented here. Yep.
Absolutely. If we sound better than we have for the past 3 months, it's because we are actually officially back in the Checkpoint XP studios.
Am I meant to take that personally? I've been the audio engineer over the last several months.
No, I think
your audio and Chuck's audio sounded fine, but mine sounded like I was talking to you through a butthole that was trapped inside of a tin can.
Not a tin can butthole.
Another one of those tin can butthole mics.
If anyone should take offense, it's Craig.
Creepy Craig, who's been recording
us the last couple of months. He should be taking
creepy
offense.
Creepy Craig's been recording us. Dude, your conversation off mic last week, which people can check out on your social media, James, makes so much more sense now. Creepy Craig's been recording us.
And now he's unemployed. Suck on that, Creepy Craig.
I'm sure there's plenty of, I know for a fact, I have at least two other podcasts where Craig is still our recorder. So.
He's unemployed by us.
Yeah.
For now.
One of the first robots to get unemployment.
We will see.
I bet Craig got paid more than we did to continue doing this show.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, he probably did.
Or about the same if it's freeware.
Yeah. All right, well, we are here to talk about all things nerd. Everything, whether it's comic book, video games, pro wrestling, whatever it is. If it's something that we are interested in, we're here to rant and rave about it and either tell you that we love it or we hate it. So let's start.
I do a lot of hating on this podcast, I think.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, that's your role on the podcast.
The hater?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
The old-timey curmudgeon.
Right.
Who said that?
Yeah.
I hate him.
So let's start with the pro wrestling. This weekend was WWE's Extreme Rules. James, I'm assuming you were watching.
I was, yes. I was half-assedly watching this time around. It wasn't a lot that I was super stoked about watching, and the stuff that I was stoked about just really left me with a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, that's kind of why I wanted to bring it up, because this year they called it the horror show at Extreme Rules when they probably should have called it the shit show at Extreme Rules. It was 2.5 hours of my life that I can never have back. Obviously, wrestling, like a lot of things since COVID, has changed. We talked about it, I think, on this show, how they've been doing the empty arena matches. Now they've moved it to some of the developmental talent is the crowd.
Yeah, they got some randos in the crowd.
Yeah, and they've got like the hockey glass up. For everything, but they've also been doing these like matches where they'll film it cinematically. So then they did the match with The Undertaker at WrestleMania,
the Boneyard,
which was amazing.
Yeah,
but
very well done.
It's been a very much diminishing returns every month when they've decided to do more of these matches. Each one is a little bit dumber than the last.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I was super pumped about was the cinematic match, which finished out the show, which was going to be Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I was excited to see what they're going to do with that as well, because I really didn't think of it in the terms of what you thought about that type of match when it was Bray Wyatt versus John Cena.
Right.
And you loved it. And I was like, that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Sure.
But then once you put your spin on it, I found like a bit more of a newfound respect. So I was trying to look at it through your eyes.
Sure.
I was looking really forward to it. And I was like, what the? I give up. I can't. I can't do it. But the Boneyard match is one thing. It was fine.
Boneyard was great, man.
So maybe my issue is the cinematic matches and Bray Wyatt or Bray Wyatt slash The Fiend.
Right.
Like, is he a Freddy Krueger? Like, he's some kind of entity that haunts your dreams?
Amy brought this up to me when I told her about how they were doing this. Because Bray Wyatt has gone through, for those of you who don't watch wrestling and don't
Which
know
is
who
me.
We're talking about, and Al, Bray Wyatt has gone through this progression where he started out as this, like, swamp wizard slash cult leader, and then has metamorphed into a split personality where he will do these segments like he's on a children's show, like he's Mr. Rogers, and he's wearing a sweater vest, and he's got his dreads all tied up in the back, and he smiles a lot, and he talks to the kids.
And he waves,
and it's really funny. But then he has this alter ego called The Fiend, which looks like, you remember when the Joker got his face tore off in the comics?
Yes.
A couple years ago?
Yeah.
He's got a mask that looks like that.
Okay.
And he's got a really creepy entrance. And
yeah, I think you've told me about The Fiend. He's kind of like the next Phenom, the next Undertaker,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, kinda he's like the same... next big creepy dude.
Yeah.
Well, he has now, for this particular match, morphed back into his Swamp Wizard cult leader character so that he could fight Bray Wyatt in a swamp.
Braun Strowman.
Or, I'm sorry, fight Braun Strowman in a swamp, because Braun Strowman used to be part of his cult.
Well, that changes everything for me, though.
He's Braun Strowman.
I don't know.
He could be fighting the Cookie Monster.
Yeah, right. For all I know.
But Amy's the one that pointed it out. He must be a huge Mick Foley fan.
Yeah, because he's got the three characters.
He's got these characters now that he can switch between.
Yeah. And I think he pulls the characters off well. Like he's good at being each character. But I just feel like the WWE doesn't really use him.
No, it's
in
like
an
they
effective
don't.
Way.
They don't know exactly how to. The one thing I was hoping for, which did happen at the end of it, was the Friday the 13th ending, where you think everything is fine, and then the monster comes out and grabs the girl out of the boat.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, Braun was climbing out of the water, and was like, "Oh, I made it!" And then the Fiend comes up and like, "Rah!" and grabs him and pulls him back in the water, and that was how it ended. So as far as we know, Braun Strowman drowned in a swamp at the end of Extreme Rules Sunday.
I wonder what swamp. I want to go find that universal title.
Yeah.
But that's worth some money.
I will say I do enjoy when you've got a wrestler who has multiple personalities like that, because I feel like at that point WWE is actually stepping outside of themselves and having fun with the fact that it's sports entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, they embrace the fact that they're the ones who coined the phrase sports entertainment, that it is predetermined and yada, yada, yada. But I feel like when I was watching back when Mick Foley had the three characters, and
Dude Love, there were Cactus Jack,
and of course Mankind, and it was kind of like, yeah, it's the same guy. Like, they didn't even try to hide it. And I remember there was a Royal Rumble that Mick Foley was in three times as each character.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
Dude Love came out, and then like 10 numbers later, Mankind came out.
And it's like at that point, it's like, yeah, it's not a competition. Like, we know who's going to win this thing. Like, we let this guy play three times.
That's fun. That's one of the things that I find the most fun about the Royal Rumbles. When somebody comes out, you're like, yeah, that guy's not winning. Sometimes I get pissed, especially when it's near the back 30.
Yeah.
When it's like, R-Truth. He's never going to win a Royal Rumble. Why is he number 29?
Yeah.
Well, I love when a guy comes running in and just gets thrown right over the rope.
Immediately, yes.
They were in the ring for 3 seconds.
Yeah. I think that happened to, was it Grandmaster Sexay or Scotty Duhati, one of those?
I think they were one of those. Yeah, one of those guys. I know that it happened to Santino Marella.
Okay.
He has the shortest. They bring it up every year. He has like a 3 seconds in the Royal Rumble.
Dude, I would love
to be in the ring and get clotheslined right out. And he's like, I wasn't ready. The one I can never forget, though, is I just talked to somebody on social media about it yesterday. The first pay-per-view that I started watching wrestling again was the Royal Rumble in the year 2000. And they still had Kai and Tai, Taka Michinoku, Funaki. And they came into the Royal Rumble three times, like Mick Foley. And the second two times, they weren't actually in it. They just
I do remember that one.
The buzzer would go off, and they would come out from under the ring and jump back in, and then immediately get thrown out. But Taka got thrown out and landed on his face on the floor and had to get carried out. And it was, it was a bad landing.
Wait.
Oh, no!
It was a lot like that.
Look at that, the drop.
A lot like that.
Ah,
but the other horror show element to Extreme Rules was Rey Mysterio was fighting Seth Rollins in a match called an Eye for an Eye match.
Okay.
So to give you a little backstory, about a month ago, Seth Rollins lost his marbles during a match and grabbed Rey Mysterio and drove his face into the point on the steel ring steps.
Now, Seth Rollins is the wrestler that the action figure I have in my office downstairs is on the speaker.
Yeah,
that's what Seth Rollins looks like.
Yeah, he's got the beard and the long hair.
Gotcha.
He looks a bit. We've called him CrossFit Jesus forever because he loves CrossFit.
Perfect.
And he looks like Jesus, so he's CrossFit Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, he went crazy and he drove Rey Mysterio's face into the point of the thing, and they've played this angle for the last month or so where Rey Mysterio has lost sight in the one eye, so now he's got like a little black covering over that part of his mask. To, you know, like an eye patch.
All the Lutra masks he puts on, there's like a black like webbing over that eyeball.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So Rey Mysterio came back a couple weeks ago and challenged Seth Rollins in an eye for an eye match where the only way to win is to extract your opponent's eye from their skull.
Okay.
Yep.
Because sports entertainment.
Yes.
And on Sunday, he lost that match. We were leading into this match because
Rey Mysterio lost. Is he without any eyes now?
Well,
is he completely blind?
Let me get there.
Oh my God!
So we were speculating going into this match that because they've done these cinematic matches, that they may even use CGI on this eye for an eye match to really pretty it up and make it look like somebody really lost an eye. Because come on now. People aren't going to really... People sacrifice a lot on their bodies for professional wrestling. But if you told a wrestler, look, you're going to have to be blind in one eye for the rest of your life, I think they would draw the line.
I think I'm going to go to AEW.
Yeah. 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 So,
unless they got Shia LaBeouf in there as a wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
He would do it. He would do it.
Take the eye.
Do it!
Right.
Take the eye. What are you waiting for?
Didn't he just tattoo like his entire upper body for something that's going on?
Yeah, like he got a legit huge tattoo for a movie role. So that's
really
why bad. I brought him up.
Yeah.
It's a really bad tattoo.
Yeah, I think he would.
So history repeated itself at the end of this match, and Seth Rollins was driving Rey Mysterio's face into the steel steps. There was no blood. However,
I would think an eye extraction would be rather bloody. Yes.
That's what you would imagine.
Yeah.
But
I'm no doctor, but
Ray was after I don't know, like 10, 20 seconds of, you know, putting his face on the point of the steel steps, Ray was screaming, my eye, and Seth backed off and Ray grabbed his face. And I don't know if you guys can see this, but there was a tweet with a picture. He palmed a like fake eyeball.
Oh, I didn't even realize they had that.
No, I didn't. When I was watching it at home, you didn't really see the fake eyeball, but he palmed the fake eyeball and put it next to his face.
Uh-huh.
And like the commentators were the ones when you were watching it live that Ray backed off and he palmed that eyeball and he put it out. And then you heard Samoa Joe go, "It's out! The eye is out!"
Oh, my
kind
God.
Of thing. And then Seth went back to like grab Ray and noticed that something was wrong and backed off and then threw up.
Yeah.
And that was how they finished the match. And then medics came and carried Rey Mysterio off with his fake eye.
You know, the only person who could have sold the eye being out was JR. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no.
By God!
By God! A man has lost his eye!
He has been permanently blinded.
To this day, my favorite Jim Ross call was, I think, after Undertaker threw Mankind off of Hell in a Cell. My God, they've killed him!
They killed him! You know why he did that?
I think we need that as a drop. My God, they've killed him!
You know why he did that is because no one told him that.
I know,
was
yeah, so, we've talked about that before.
Yeah, that's a legitimate reaction of like, oh my God, they've killed...
Yeah.
My company has killed a man!
Yeah, well, and that guy too was like, he was in charge of the wrestlers in a lot of ways.
Yeah, like,
he was
talent relations.
Yeah, so he's basically like the HR guy, just saw someone throw someone off the ring and
but
it was...
But also, I think that happened after the Owen Hart thing too.
That was before Owen.
That was before?
Yeah.
That was before Owen. So I'm sure when the Owen Hart thing happened, it was even worse.
Yeah,
just like,
oh, this isn't the first time something like this has happened.
My favorite story about that, which I probably told you before whenever it's come up, but my favorite story about that, Mick Foley told in his book, is that when they went backstage, him and The Undertaker, Vince McMahon's words to him very, very calmly, not in his
big Vince McMahon voice,
very calmly, he's like, Mick, I can never thank you enough for the sacrifices you have made tonight alone for my business, but I never want to see that shit again.
Yeah. He loved it and he hated it so
much. Yeah, exactly. That was amazing. Don't you ever do that again. Are we still recording?
Yes.
Okay, I saw you peek over. I'm like, oh, no.
Uh-oh. Was that me or? I don't know.
Oh, we got a new follower, I guess.
Hey, cool.
Hey.
So many new followers. Making all these noises.
I don't recall Twitch ever making noises on there.
We got him a follower.
Yeah.
Take that, Checkpoint.
Suck on it, Robbie.
We're paying our bills for being in the studio by getting a follower.
Well, we just got a follower. We didn't get a subscription.
That's true. No. But you know what? We appreciate you following.
Yeah, thanks, Spooky.
Yeah, you're awesome.
Two zeros and an O.
So, yeah, Rey Mysterio lost an eye on Sunday. And then I was like you, James. I
like how you just casually said that. Rey Mysterio lost an eye on Sunday. You know, anyway, James.
I was much like James. I felt like, man, that was awful. Yeah. And I didn't even really tune into Monday Night Raw, but I did see online that they had an official medical update saying that the optic nerve was not damaged, so that Rey Mysterio, with surgery, will get his eyesight back.
Oh, for crying out loud. They come up with the dumbest cover stories for vacation. Jesus Christ.
So stupid.
It's just so bad. Like, did anybody even believe like he was really going to lose his eye?
Right.
Like, nobody was buying into anybody actually losing an eye in this match.
Not to mention the fact that they made it a point to let us know that the way to win this match is to extract an opponent's eye from their eye socket. Like, this is ridiculous. And that wasn't even the dumbest thing that we got to see. I just remembered.
It got worse.
Okay, so there was a women's match where one of the outside, like the manager, essentially.
I'm sorry.
When the referee.
Not even going to say the joke that popped into my head. All right, go ahead.
When the referee went down, took the referee's shirt off and put it on themselves and then counted the pinfall.
Yeah.
And then got them to ring the bell. And I'm like, That doesn't count.
And then another wrestler just came in and deemed himself the champ because the other wrestler, I think, technically has COVID.
It was,
but is claiming to be injured. He just took the title.
It was a really dumb show.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Wow! Like, just what? Utter chaos.
What do we want?
I mean, now let me say this: there's a lot of neat stuff going on in wrestling right now, but absolutely. Sunday night was not any of it.
Not a highlight.
Like, sure. Getting to see NXT, what, Keith Lee just won the heavyweight championship on NXT a couple of weeks ago in a friggin' amazing match. AEW's been killing it. They've got some neat stuff going on. What was it? Freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy just fought Chris Jericho and dumped a whole bunch of orange juice on him from the ceiling, and that was really funny. That's, you know, an Attitude Era kind of thing to dump liquid from the ceiling on him or something like that, but...
Liquid from the ceiling.
Sometimes it's green slime. Sometimes it's orange juice. You never know. Sometimes it's poop.
The
only way to find out is a taste test.
Perfect tagline for this podcast.
Sometimes it's poop. I also wanted to bring up on a much sadder note that I read a report last week that the New York Post is claiming that Ric Flair's wife currently has COVID.
Yeah, yes.
That's what I've heard.
That's, you know, hopefully she gets better. There's been a couple of people in WWE that, the little interviewer, Kayla?
Yep. She's gotten it twice.
Yeah, she's gotten COVID twice.
Yeah. Renee Young had it.
Yep.
I'm surprised that didn't get spread over to Mox.
Yeah, and I was surprised to see Renee Young on Sunday during, like, they've been doing, like, their pre-shows and stuff like that, but everybody's just, like, doing it like we've been doing Nerd Radio.
Yeah.
Just from home.
From home.
Just with a Zoom camera. But we hope, A, that Ric Flair's wife gets better soon, and B, Ric Flair doesn't get COVID.
Yeah,
right. Well,
from what I understand, I believe he's living in his basement of a three-story home.
That guy's really old, man. Yeah, I don't want him to.
He was already almost dead. Was it a year ago?
Yeah.
I remember it was heart surgery?
It was Ric Flair death watch.
Yeah.
Well, and kind of as you were just saying, though, woo! James, he may be fine because his house does cover two counties.
Yeah. Right.
So
exactly. He's living in the basement, which is at least a quarter mile away from the rooms with the person with COVID.
Got to take a subway to get there.
Right.
Find him over at Space Mountain while the ladies are lined up to go for a ride.
Now that's when you should have dropped the woo.
Woo!
There we go.
All right, well, we're going to take a short break after complaining about wrestling. There's some cool stuff coming up on streaming services. And what else do I got here? I knew I had something else. Wrestling. Oh, some video game news. All right. Yeah, that's a great tease. Aren't you glad we're back in the studio?
Yes.
Here comes Nerd Radio with more.
Here it comes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey, what's up? It's WWE Superstar Braun Strowman, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
All right, we're back with more Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRIF.com. Also in Boston.
Rock929rocks.com. And also now in Fort Myers, Florida as well.
What?
At 96krock.com.
I had no idea we were in Florida.
Al's expanding the territories here for Checkpoint XP.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Breaking down barriers.
So, welcome. Welcome, Fort Myers, to the Nerd Radio family.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. Also, you can find us, at least for the foreseeable future, I would imagine.
At least for the rest of today.
At least for the rest of today. on Checkpoint XP's Twitch stream. James, where's that?
You can find that over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP.
My name's Chuck Bean, joined, of course, by James and Al Beck for another week of Nerd Radio. And, guys, does anybody other than me have access to HBO Max?
Yes.
Okay.
I do not.
Because they announced this week that they are going to be taking the Harry Potter movies off of HBO Max at the end of August.
Uh-huh.
Not because J.K. Rowling has been tweeting bad stuff, but because of the way the licenses work.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Which is weird.
Legalities.
I feel like wasn't that one of the things that they really put up front? It was like, hey, we're going to have this, and we're going to have this, and we're also going to have the Harry Potter movies.
That was one of the things. Big right. Bang Theory is on there. Friends was one of the big selling points. All the DC stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's a little strange that within like a month and a half.
Well, the whole thing is kind of weird the way it, that stuff is being taken down already.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a couple months old at this point.
Yeah.
So it's weird that any sort of contract was that short, unless it was already part of HBO.
I was going to just say that it was all the Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Now there's a wizard I would watch.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
That
wizard.
Sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
That sounds like a wizard. Level, that sounds like yes. a level of Mario Brothers. Well, I do not want to see.
But that's what I was going to ask. If all the Harry Potter films were already on HBO,
I think so.
So they just lumped that in. Yeah. And they just happened to launch HBO Max right before the contracts expired, and all the Harry Potter movies go to another cable network.
Now is that a potty named Harold, or is that like a messy trim job?
I think it's a hairy, like it's
that's
a messy
a really
trim
disgusting
job.
Toilet.
Well, I guess it could be that too. Like maybe that's, somebody trimmed their pubes and used their Manscaper. Yep.
Yeah,
the toilet.
You open that stall door and see Harry Potty, and you're like, nope, I'll hold it.
Yes.
No, thank you.
Or the Chewbacca outhouse.
Both rough scenes to walk in on.
Oh, God.
You're praying for one of those little wax paper sheets to put over the seat.
Yeah.
Way. Yep.
You might need two.
Well, they are adding some stuff to I almost said Disney Plus, to HBO Max next month. They're getting rid of the Harry Potter movies, but they are adding in the 1989 Batman movie. As well as its
the Batman movie?
Batman. Michael Keaton Batman movie. As well as its sequels, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, and Batman and Robin.
Robin.
Ooh, Robin.
So if you've really been wanting to see Batman and Robin, it's coming to HBO Max. But the good news is they're also putting the Harley Quinn movie on there, which I haven't seen yet. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Birds of Prey?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Isn't the Harley Quinn show the moving over there as well?
Yes,
or something
they're
like
putting
that?
both seasons of the Harley Quinn show, which is exciting because you can't access the DC universe on anything other than like a tablet or a computer or something. Like I can't get it on my PlayStation.
Oh, really?
So I can't watch Harley Quinn on my TV.
That really limits them to reach their audience.
It
you think
really
they
does.
That. Let's get with the times, man. You should be able to access this on any kind of device that's
if you're gonna
app
watch,
friendly.
If you're going to launch a streaming service in the last 3 years, you'd better have apps for the Xbox One and the PS4.
It's really weird the way some of those streaming services work because it is available. I've got an Apple TV. That's what's in my living room. And you can get the DC app on that.
Okay.
But it's weird how sometimes there's exclusives. You know, like I like History, which has been covered on the show.
Right.
And History Channel has got their streaming service, their History Vault, which is all the old documentaries that, you know, they used to play.
And Al's the only subscriber.
I'm the only subscriber. But it's, you can only get that on Apple devices.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, I don't know if it's a contract that right. will just run out eventually and it'll open up, but it's just weird when stuff like that happens. Or HBO Max, I've got that on my Apple TV, but like friends' TVs or my girls' TV, it's not on there on the smart TV, but it also just updated and added Peacock. So it's like, I don't know what the deal is. You know?
Right.
It's like the TV is just obsolete, so it's just weird.
I think you're right. It's got to be some sort of streaming like legalities or something.
Yeah. It's weird.
Exclusivities.
Because I tried to sign in on her TV, but instead I just, you know, do AirPlay for my phone.
Well, yeah, that's like I've got that Shutter service, and that connects to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So because Amy has Amazon Prime and I do not, her Amazon is logged in. But if I try and use Shutter on the TV, then it will just sign her up for Shutter instead of accessing mine.
Oh, okay.
Well, try doing the AirPlay thing from your phone and just like stream it to your TV or whatever.
Right.
Try that. See if that works. You know, if anyone else is trying to watch their DC whatever on the TV and they can't, try that.
Right.
Because that's how I watch HBO Max at her house.
Okay, so three things came to mind while we were just talking right now. First of all, James.
Really? Because I wasn't thinking at all. I was just talking.
Yeah, you just rattle off at the mouth and just whatever comes out, comes out.
He's a loose cannon.
Yeah.
First of all, James, you know there's more than just Al watching the History Channel. I mean, it's a funny joke,
yeah.
But you know that there are more Al Becks out there.
Yeah. That's a scarier thought.
Right, that there are more Al Becks out there watching the History Channel.
Watch the thing about Andrew Jackson over the weekend.
Do they all love MASH, too?
Right, that's what I'm saying. And the second thing I wanted to bring up is, can you imagine a convention?
Of Al's?
Of Al Becks.
Oh, my God.
An Al Beck convention. I'm not saying it would be like Al jumped in a cloner would all look.
I can tell you exactly what it would look like. No one would be there because no one wants to be at a convention if you're me.
Well, fair enough.
It would be an empty room. It would be an empty banquet hall.
If they had like all the surviving members of MASH and Starship Enterprise.
Both of them?
And they have a Starship Enterprise where you can take photos with with your fellow Star Trek fans, and then there's a room instead of playing anime in the room or horror movies, they're just playing the History Channel, and you can go and hang out and be with your people.
I like the idea of an Al convention.
Yeah, you'd be there.
I don't know.
It's better than an intervention.
It's true.
Yeah, an Al convention.
I think that just quickly.
Hey, are you going to Al convention this week?
Al convention.
Alcon.
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 Yes.
Alcon 2021.
Yeah, the intervention, I think, immediately follows the Alcon.
I'll set up a booth. I got a bunch of old-timey goods I can sell you. Snake oils.
I've been talking to Ken downstairs about doing, I've discussed it with you guys a couple times, doing like a nerd radio convention because, no comic conventions. I'm going to tell him before I leave today that I want it to be called Alcon.
Oh, God. No, see, that's the thing.
But then we got to get that guy from MASH that I had the in on. The 80-year-old man, remember? It was the 80-year-old guy from Star Trek. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Right.
But we still get him. He's an old
cool.
man. Yeah, I think you and Al, you and him.
Yeah, it was Chekhov, I believe.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't remember.
Walter Koenig?
We'll just be sitting there on Zoom saying, can you say nuclear vessels for me? Just one more time. Nuclear vessels? Well, talking about streaming services, too, it was announced last week that Netflix is grabbing the license to Usagi Yojimbo. He was...
That's a great name.
Yeah, well, it's Japanese for...
Sounds like a sandwich.
It's Japanese
it
for rabbit samurai.
Okay.
He is the samurai bunny rabbit that showed up in a couple episodes of the Ninja Turtles cartoon back in the day.
I remember him.
Yeah, well,
his action figure.
Yep, exactly. He was his own comic book, but he was a funny animal comic, and the guys from Ninja Turtles liked him. So, like, hey, we can do a figure for you of Usagi, and we can put him in the cartoon for a couple episodes, and people will hopefully see your comic. He's an independent comic. He's been doing it since the late '80s.
Wow.
And Netflix has decided, currently published by IDW, to grab it. Usagi is interesting because it's a comic where it all takes place in feudal Japan, but everybody is different animals. So there's like, Usagi walks around on two legs and everything like that, but there's like pigs and dogs and cats and foxes and stuff like that and all the different animals. Most of the ninjas are like bats and cats and that kind of thing. So it's
a bat ninja?
It's ninjas and samurai, and it's coming to Netflix probably next year. So I'm excited to see
that.
That's
pretty cool.
It's going to be a CGI animated series, and it's supposed to follow what they're saying. They said in the press release, it's supposed to follow probably the son of Usagi from the comics,
okay,
so that they can go in whatever direction they want to.
Think there'll be any Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle references in there, or is it just such a small portion?
I think it would be really weird if there wasn't.
Okay.
Because even the last Ninja Turtles show that was on Nickelodeon that I loved in 2012, mm-hmm, in the last season of that, they did a couple Usagi Yojimbo episodes,
oh, okay,
where they went back to feudal Japan.
So that must be Buds. We should have asked, what's-his-face, Kevin Eastman about him.
Oh, about Stan, yeah, Stan, I think February. It's Stan Sakai. That yeah. does the comic. He's been doing it's one guy. He writes and draws it, and he's been doing it, like I said, since the late 80s. So it's kind of awesome, mm-hmm, that he's finally, you know, getting a
his
own
thing.
He's
stuck with it for so long. It's finally starting to pay off.
Yeah, but I'm excited to check that out. I'm also excited about a couple of video game stories that we're going to get to in just a minute here on Nerd Radio. I ask you guys, and you can think about it for a second. What is the most amount of discs a game you've ever played has come on?
Four.
Because it doesn't matter what the number is, I can top it.
Okay.
With the game that just came out.
I would probably say three or four. How many discs was Myst when that first came out?
Oh, Myst was a lot.
I don't know.
Myst was maybe three or four.
Here's my question for you. What generation of gaming is the one that you're about to talk about?
It's a PC game that just came out.
So they can probably fit a lot of information on one of those discs.
Yep.
Yeah, if you use like a Blu-ray disc.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because like a game that used to be like over three discs could be on one Blu-ray disc.
Yeah. Like how many discs was Final Fantasy VII?
Three. The original.
The original. How many is it now?
The one that just came out was two.
Oh, wow. It's still on two?
There was an install disc and then there was a play disc, which is what Grand Theft Auto does too.
Okay.
My God. What could this game be? And furthermore, yeah, what computer game is still coming on a disc?
Yeah, it's not a direct
download.
Also, here's a tease for the next thing as well. We talked last week about Red Dead Redemption,
yeah,
about all the clowns. Because
your last tease was good enough because we're already talking about it.
Yeah.
Because they hadn't gotten a patch.
Yeah.
Another game just got patched last week and
hasn't
seen one in two decades.
How much are the protesters playing that game and still giving them money?
That's coming up next on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Nerd Radio.
It's cool. I'm taking it back.
What are you, nuts?
I'm taking it back. You watch.
All right, we're back with more Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcast, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network, and, of course, on your social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name's Chuck Bean, joined by Al Beck and James for this week's Nerd Radio. I posed the question before we went to break of what's the most amount of discs a game ever came on. Al said four discs for Final Fantasy VIII, and I forget, James, you said like
three or four. Missed. You know, I think I've played Final Fantasy VII. I think that was two or three.
That was three, yeah.
Resident Evil 2 was two. Yeah, I'm not a big disc guy, I guess. I'm a one disc man.
I was going to say, that's funny because you like all your stuff on physical media, too. You don't like your digital stuff, which Ghoul just tagged us in something yesterday that Untitled Goose Game is getting a physical release.
Oh, really?
Which bums me out because I spent my money on the digital download, but I love it.
You can get it for the PS4 for like $20. You can get it for the Switch for like $35.
And I think it comes with like the no goose sticker.
It does.
Like, there's some stuff on that I'm like, am I gonna drop $20 on this again?
Yeah.
I can answer that question for you right now. Yes, you will.
Yeah.
You're going to.
I want the no goose sticker.
It's a matter of time.
Put that on the door to my streaming room.
The thing that's fascinating about it, though, is that it's being put out by Skybound, which is Robert Kirkman's comic book company. Mm-hmm. Like, I had no idea they did video games.
Yeah, they also have a deal with Dr. Disrespect, too.
Do they?
Skybound?
Okay.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they put out a lot of stuff. If you go on their website, they put out books and they put out a whole bunch of stuff.
I don't even think that the Walking Dead game came out via Skybound. It was Telltale.
If you go, they've got the Telltale game on the Skybound site.
Huh.
You can buy the physical copy of it.
Interesting.
But the game that I'm looking to tell you about comes out on the PC, and it's Microsoft's new flight simulator game that just came out. most people understand. Have you ever seen somebody that is into this flight, the flight simulator games?
No.
Because I remember, Jesus, this has to be like more than 20 years ago. I was doing some house painting for somebody, and it was an older couple, and the gentleman loved flight simulator, and he had this setup in front of his computer that was like from, you know, as far as my arms can reach, mm-hmm. of all the buttons and the switches and the dials and stuff like that.
Like an actual cockpit?
Yes.
Wow.
To play this flight simulator
game.
That's
amazing. I want that.
Is it amazing or sad?
Probably both.
There's a lot of time and money put into making a makeshift cockpit just to play it.
Are you trying to tell
simulator?
Me that it's sad that I find it amazing? I think that's cool. Can you imagine having that? I mean, it's not that all. It's, you know, less of a setup than a VR, but that's what's so cool about the VR is it puts you in the thing.
Now with the VR, you wouldn't have to have that big old...
No.
That,
but that's what's so cool about the Bridge Crew to me is like you're on the bridge of a starship and you can push the buttons and all that stuff. Like, I would love that console, man.
I'm looking to see because there's got to be – those things still have to be – see, there's like flight sticks on Amazon, but there's not a full console like this guy had. But it had to be a couple hundred dollars. Anyways, this new one, I think –
oh, I feel like a couple hundred dollars is lowballing it.
Yeah.
A full setup? Oh, God, I can't imagine. That's the only thing that stopped me from getting it. That and the fact that I live in a tiny apartment.
Right.
That's like, get rid of the coffee table, put in my flight
put
simulator.
Put flight simulator in there. Sorry, hon, this is the flight simulator room.
We don't really need a guest bedroom. Let's just turn it into the cockpit.
And then I never had sex again.
Well, the new flight simulator is supposed to be around 90 gigabytes.
Holy crap.
You can, of course, get it digitally. Somebody liked that. I heard that noise.
There's something on the board that shouldn't be on the board, but it took us so long to get set up. Let's just leave it on.
I'm just leaving it on. You guys can just make noise. Make a noise.
You got Rex Cranium 666 following.
Thank you, Rex Cranium.
You know, I like it. I like that we can tell people on the podcast we got a new follower.
Yeah.
Makes us seem so much more popular. I think I can go in and turn this off if you guys want.
No, let's leave it.
I think it's this one, because I've got the stream up. I think if I just turned it down, then it wouldn't be there.
But let's just leave it.
I like that it interrupts our conversation.
Yes. And I like that we can't be professionals and just ignore it.
No, not at all.
We have to address it.
But this new flight simulator game, this 90 gigabyte download, comes on 10 physical copy discs.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
10 Blu-ray discs to get that.
In 2020.
In 2020. If you want a physical copy of Flight Simulator, it comes on 10 Blu-ray discs.
They have the manuals for every single airplane ever made since the beginning of time. They got the blueprints from Wilbur and Orville Wright's planes. 10 discs. My God, what else do you need on there?
I think, the flying washing machine.
Yeah. Yeah, like, or was it microwaves, toasters that would fly from the screensavers?
Yeah. You know,
anything that was ever taken flight, we had the blueprints
for. Yeah, the original hot air balloon.
Yeah. Yeah, 10 discs if you want a copy of Flight Simulator. I have no idea what that's got to cost. But I would think, too, with a flight simulator game, that's probably why I don't play them. You'd have to have the different planes in order to have, like, different levels.
Yeah, you think you'd have, like, single-engine airplanes, commercial, military-type planes.
Right.
Maybe they won't have military.
And then the difficulty is probably weather.
Because I was going to say, what are you going to do other than they're going to teach you how to fly a plane? They're going to tell you, you know, increase your speed, pull up,
right.
You know, and then what?
If you figure out, if you play Flight Simulator, you have to be able to land the plane in Nest Top Gun. You have to.
It'd be funny if, no, you can't.
Yeah.
Like, no, I still can't.
It's like playing Guitar Hero. It's like, I know how to play guitar, and I'm bad at this game.
Yeah.
What the F?
Right. It's impossible.
I played this song in front of my high school talent show, it killed. But now I'm getting kicked off. I'm getting booed off the stage by all these fake fans in this Guitar Hero.
Right.
Do we have a price tag on that simulator? Just out of curiosity.
Let me see. I just closed my window. So.
Oh, well, it's not that important.
Give me a second.
I was just curious. I mean, not that the actual how many discs make a difference, but.
Right. You can pre-order it now.
Mm-hmm.
According to the website here.
Already done. How much am I paying?
They don't have a price on it.
Oh, good. Just order it and we'll surprise you.
If you have to ask,
$59.99.
You can't afford it. That's it?
$59.99.
Just considering how large that game is, I am surprised by
how. Yeah, me too, because it's the same price as a regular game.
Yeah.
Includes 20 highly detailed planes with unique flight models and 30 handcrafted airports. Oh, you get to walk through the airports. How nice.
The worst part of flying.
Yeah.
If you want the premium deluxe edition, it's $120.
Do you also get a nasty head cold after you play it too?
Maybe.
From the recirculated air?
Yeah, that's the, if they really want to simulate the experience, your ears got to pop while you're playing it.
And it like spritzes you with airplane farts every so often?
Yeah. It really is a simulator.
Oh my God.
It's like an exact simulator.
Somebody had egg salad.
Oof.
Somebody's got their shoes off in the back. I smell those toes. Oh,
that's me. I'm sorry.
Oh. Damn it, Chuck.
I got so used to doing Nerd Radio with no shoes.
As long as you're wearing pants is the only thing that I'm worried about.
I'm glad you put on the pants and underwear this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I knew I was coming to work. I knew I had to wear a mask, so I definitely wanted to wear pants.
You didn't say anything about underwear, James.
Oh.
And we're not asking.
It could be free balling, yeah.
We're not asking.
I sneezed and unplugged my headphones because I didn't want to sneeze into this mic.
Droplets.
Yes, please don't, because that's the mic I have to use on a weekly basis.
Okay, yeah, no, I definitely want to. I'll sanitize this mic when we're done.
Well, don't sanitize too much, because then the engineering might come for you.
Yeah,
that's true. They don't like that. Well, another game that does not come on 10 discs, but finally got an update after 20 years is Worms Armageddon. One of the sequels to Worms, the classic game where you have
like
a little,
Snake.
No, you control the little worms, and they have, like, the bazookas and ninja.
You talk to me like I've played this game called
You've
Worms.
You've never heard of Worms?
No.
There's
the
been
worms?
So many copies of Worms. These little cartoon worms, you get a team of four of them. Everybody's got a team of four of them. And then you, like, you set the pitch of how you're going to fire and how much power you want to put behind it. Like, if you're going to throw a grenade, and then you throws a grenade, and then it lands next to the other worm, and he goes, uh-oh, and then poof.
Is this, like, what led to Angry Pigs or whatever?
Angry Birds?
Yeah, Angry Birds. Sorry.
Maybe. Maybe. Pepsi Man says Worms was one of the best.
I love Angry Pig.
Angry Pig.
That one's going to make bacon out of me.
I'm a pig and I'm angry.
so pissed off.
I'm so angry I'm going to roll in this mud.
Porky's running around with no pants on.
Yeah,
but to celebrate the 25th year anniversary of the entire Worms series, Team 17, who created the Worms way back in the day, decided to put a whole bunch of fixes and changes and improvements into Worms Armageddon, which they apparently have not touched in almost 20 years. And nobody had to dress up as a clown to get that done. So congratulations to you guys.
Yeah, I'm guessing that Red Dead Redemption probably still hasn't done an update.
Probably not.
Probably has not even noticed the fact that everyone's clowns.
Right, right.
They're just like, oh, hey, they like that skin.
They're like, man, we are killing it with these clown skins. We are selling millions.
People keep buying these clown skins.
Give us some more clown stuff.
I was going to say, please tell me that the clown outfit's like $10. And they're like, people are spending money on the outfit.
On the clown outfit.
Yeah.
That I
couldn't
tell you.
This Worms game guy. I don't know what I'm saying right now.
James just broke.
I'm confused by this game, yeah.
You should try it. It was a lot of fun. We used to play a hell of a lot of it on the original PlayStation.
Really?
Yep, that was when the original one came out, and then they decided to make them more cartoony on the. I think it was still on the PlayStation when the sequels came out. I got Alan to Transformers a couple of weeks ago with the Back to the Future.
Yeah,
robot.
You piqued my interest. I wouldn't say you got me into Transformers.
Oh, you're so into it. You were texting me. You were like, "So tell me about Cybertron. I want to know."
He's like, "Tell me about who's Optimus Prime's girlfriend."
Right.
Tell me about Cybertron. Write the kids' book.
Yeah, so this week I'm going to see if I can't do the same with James. I think we mentioned this when it was coming out. You know, there's a Top Gun Transformer on the way.
Is there?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, no, they're taking the plane from Top Gun and turning him into Transformer named Maverick.
Nice.
And he comes with a volleyball.
Very nice.
And no shirt.
I was going to say, does he go shirtless?
And he also has, what's Tom Cruise's character? Is it Maverick?
Yes.
On a motorcycle. Maverick. He's got a little Maverick on a motorcycle that you can put with him. I got some screenshots for you here.
Very nice.
There's the plane.
It's big. Bigger than I thought it would be.
He's much larger than the Transformers typically are. Come on now. Where's a good picture? Yeah, there he is. He's got the...
He's not as handsome as the Maverick.
No.
From the movie.
He's got the helmet, though, and that's pretty cool.
He does have the same helmet.
It's a fake helmet. There he is playing volleyball.
Yeah, spike that ball.
All transformed.
Game point.
He's another one you got to order online. He's about $30, but
at least he's affordable.
Yeah, he's not $800 like the scalpers with the Back to the Future Transformer.
Yeah, I think your best bet would have been the Ghostbusters Ecto-1 Transformers.
Yeah,
I think was that last year or 2 years
ago? That was last year. Yeah, you can still get them. You can go online and get him, but he's also $30. He's a little bit larger than what I would have expected.
Gotcha. Now that would be a perfect item for Chuck the Freak.
Yes.
The Top Gun one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he would pop a boner in his pants if he saw that.
If he saw a
Maverick Transformer.
Right.
Now I can't wait to take the last 10 minutes of this conversation and edit it down to Chuck saying, I'm not used to wearing pants anymore. Then to James, he's bigger than I thought he was. And then Chuck, I'm trying to fit the whole robot in here. Yeah.
Wrong hole, Chuck. There you go, Al. The conclusion to your masterpiece.
That's gonna be a real weird audio clip. Now we're just between the pedal bear thing last week and now this audio clip. We're just pushing the boundaries now. How much can we get away with before the people that officially own this podcast?
Well,
like,
we'll be known as the real artsy nerd podcast. Artsy there with the stuff they do.
Yeah,
we just added another radio station's website to our list.
Yes, and now we're trying to
even
get
the people
out
in Florida are like, these dudes are weird.
You know, when Florida says you're weird, did you guys see this story about this little kid that saved his little sister from the dog and all the different Avengers are sending him videos?
That's a nice story.
Yeah, it's such a great video.
It's unfortunate for the kid, but very nice of him to save his girl.
Yeah, he got mauled,
his sister,
man.
Yeah, from a
a 6-year-old, Bridger Walker, saved his younger sister from a dog that was charging at her, and he got 90 stitches in his face, and there's still some swelling you see in some of the pictures and videos and stuff like that. But a bunch of people from the Avengers have been sending him videos online. Like the first one, I think, was Chris Evans.
Yeah,
and that was super heartwarming. Which I'd ask it when it happened last week. I talked about it on the air, and I'd ask, has there been another actor in recent memory that has completely embodied a character like Chris Evans?
His role, yeah.
Like Chris Evans has become Captain America.
Johnny Depp with Captain Sparrow.
Really?
I think so.
You think he's
I think he thinks he's a pirate. He thinks he's a pirate. He's sailing the seven seas. He's swashbuckling.
Does he still wear like the pirate?
I think he's
rag?
Upgraded like a hat. He's more like a steampunk pirate. With
okay.
A top hat, like a Willy Wonka top hat from the
sure,
movie.
Sure. Yeah.
His crazy
Willy
glasses.
Wonka pirate.
You know, weird scarves and stuff.
But Chris Evans sent him a Captain America shield, like one of those big replica steel shields. Then Chris Hemsworth.
Is this kid strong enough to even lift that shield up?
He is not. At 6 years old, he is not.
He's going to think he's like really special when he's finally old enough and big enough and strong enough to lift that shield up. He's going to think it's like Thor's hammer. He's like, oh, I am worthy.
Right. Well, that was the thing. The Chris Evans video was really heartwarming. But then Chris Hemsworth sent him a video and like...
It wasn't like an Odin eye patch, was it? That'd be really inappropriate.
No, he was talking to him.
Practical. It could be a very practical one.
Rey Mysterio could use one of those.
Yes, he could.
But he was just talking to him in like his regular Australian accent. He wasn't even like trying to be Thor for the 6-year-old. And that's what I thought when Chris Evans was talking to him. Is like, somebody better send him a Mjolnir. If anyone's worthy to lift Mjolnir, it's a 6-year-old that saved his little sister from getting mauled by a dog.
Yeah.
But then Tom Holland also jumped in and invited him to the set of the next Spider-Man.
He probably wasn't allowed to do.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't supposed to talk about.
Tom Holland doesn't even get full scripts.
I didn't realize.
He can't keep his mouth shut. He's just going to bring this kid to the... Like, what the hell are you just like...
Did we know that there's supposed to be another Spider-Man on the way?
I think so. I mean, with the way the second one ends, it implies that there will absolutely be a third one.
That would be hilarious. Like, God damn it, Tom.
Yeah. Tom, you're fired. You're fired. We're not doing any more Spider-Man movies.
We're not Spider-Man anymore.
We're going to get Tobey Maguire back.
Yeah. Andrew Garfield's like, I kept so many secrets, they don't even know my name.
Yeah. Well, back to Chris Hemsworth. At least he played himself. It would have been funny if he did the call of the video as he's preparing to be Hulk Hogan.
Right. So like, if he did.
Great work, brother.
Well, let me tell you something, Chris.
Oh, dude, I saw something online. Speaking of him being Hulk Hogan, I saw something online where he was talking about how difficult his training regimen is to be Hulk Hogan. Like, are you kidding? Like, harder than Thor?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Well, yeah, he's got to put on, like.
What are you doing?
Instead of looking chiseled, he has to just look bigger.
Yeah,
and he's now instead.
More swole. Because you need those 40-inch pythons. So hopefully he's going to bed saying his prayers and
eating his vitamins. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not saying some of the other stuff Hulk Hogan is now famous for saying.
Yes, hopefully he's not saying any of that stuff. Watch out, Booker T.
Yeah, right. So Chris Hemsworth talked to him. Tom Holland called him. And then Robert Downey Jr. sent him an Instagram. He said he's not sending him anything. However...
That's a very Robert Downey Jr. thing to say.
I'd play you the video, but I don't think the audio would come over the microphones. But I've got a quote for him. He's like, she said, "Bridger, you're a rock star. My name is Robert Downey Jr. I play Tony, and that makes me an old friend of Cap's. And I heard he sent a shield your way, so I'm going to do one better. Call me on your next birthday. I got something special for you. Late. By the way, that's a promise, and a promise beats a shield."
Oh.
Which is so Tony Stark. So Robert Downey Jr.
So he might get something out of it, because that's...
Can you imagine if they're, like, putting together, like...
Dude, Iron Man's going to show up to this kid's birthday.
They're putting together... No, like, they're putting together an Iron Man suit for, like, when he is 7. How cool
that
would be.
He's getting his own Iron Man suit.
That it's would be
7-year-old
so cool.
with his own Iron Man
Do
suit.
Do you think I'd fit into it?
I would love to see you try.
Well, that's the worst part, too. I would think, if you're thinking
Jarvis
ahead...
Jarvis is like, dude, too much mass.
Yeah.
Too much mass.
If you're thinking ahead...
Oh, that's my epitaph right there.
Actually, you can't even do it, because this kid is 6. He's going to be, you know, 7 by the time he gets whatever Robert Downey Jr. is about to send him. You remember how quickly you outgrew your clothes at that age. Like, even if you're going to make him an Iron Man suit, he's going to outgrow it, and then he's just going to have this little mini Iron Man suit for the rest of his life. But you can't even make, like, you can't approximate what he's going to fully grow into. So you can't possibly make him a proper Iron Man suit. I don't know what Robert Downey, maybe he's going to make him one of those cool gauntlets. Maybe you give him the glasses from Spider-Man Homecoming.
I mean, he gave Chris Evans a whole car, so I think he can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Gonna give this kid a car.
Yeah,
I want a car from Robert Downey Jr. All right, well, I got one more thing to talk about, which is something you guys brought up. You talked about on the morning show, this Reddit thread of what are your top 5 most rewatchable movies. I don't know, did you guys get to talk about it on the morning show, or is it
we
just
did talk about it a little bit? Yeah, we just kind of went down the Reddit list.
Okay.
Yeah, the ones that they had listed off. And
yeah, because they've got, like, I see right at the top somebody said Memento, which that's a good movie.
I don't know how rewatchable it is. It blew my mind the first time, and then it was cool to go back and see it again, knowing what it was. But I mean, and it's still good to rewatch. But super rewatchable.
Yeah, the most rewatchable movies are like 90 minutes, and it's usually a comedy, something that's real easy to just to watch, get a couple laughs, and then you're done. Anything that really requires like a lot of thought,
right,
or a lot of time and attention, to me, it's not a rewatchable movie.
I do actually think I have a number one rewatchable movie on my list, so maybe we'll go. Maybe I can hit that after we go through some of the list. This isn't like a Hollywood Reporter put together list. This is just people on
people on Reddit. Just,
so I mean, it's you know,
it's
nothing
be
behind it.
Huge,
but.
Hugely due to whatever your personal opinion is,
right?
Like maybe what you find nostalgic and enjoy.
All right, so I've got a list of what, according to Men's Health, was the 20 most rewatchable movies according to Reddit. So I'm going to go through them, and you guys give me a yay or nay.
Okay.
Goodfellas.
Oh, absolutely. I love that.
Yeah, I can rewatch that, but it's not like one I would say.
Again,
it's
like
re-watch?
A three-hour investment of time.
I don't have that
time.
Much time.
Yeah, exactly. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
I could watch that anytime. Like, definitely a rewatchable one. It's kind of long, but...
Yeah. Of the Indiana Jones, though, I wouldn't say the bottom of the list. I've never even seen Crystal Skull, and I'm going to leave it that way.
Yeah. Mean Girls.
Never seen it once.
No?
No.
That's pretty fun. 10 Things I Hate About You. I don't think this is the room for that movie.
No.
I've seen it. It's good.
I've seen it, too, but it's just a modern telling of what, Taming of the Shrew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into the Spider-Verse. I give that a thumbs up.
I know that that's definitely extremely rewatchable for you. I could watch it again, but I don't think that makes it like a top 20 rewatchable
movie. That's one
movie
I would
to
need
me.
To rewatch because I was too high when I watched it the first time to even remember what happened.
Ocean's 11.
Nah.
I don't think I've seen it.
I'm guessing it's the
Oh, wait,
George
I've seen
Clooney
Ocean's
version.
11. Yeah.
Not the Rat Pack version.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Brad a decent Pitt, movie. Clooney. I know I've rewatched it multiple times, but that's just due to it being on cable television at my home growing
up. So I'm
going to
say no.
Shawshank.
Yes.
To me, no. I don't want to.
I don't know that I've seen
that's
it.
That's not one I want to go back and rewatch.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
It was a good movie, but.
So good.
Pineapple Express?
Yes.
No.
No, that fits the criteria perfectly.
Which one?
90
is,
minutes.
What's the. Which
Seth
which
Rogen is the. Seth Rogen is the server, like the process server, the court server.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then they smoke the strain of Pineapple Express outside the murder that they saw him and James Franco, and then they have to go on the lam. And
okay, yeah, I have seen that one. I don't think I've seen it more than once.
Thug Life, man.
Yeah.
Fight Club. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I can watch that one, too.
I know I've seen Fight Club. this one's a gimme for me. Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
It's a big old no to me.
Never seen it.
Yeah.
I hated that goddamn movie.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
My roommate hated it, so I never...
They just did a live stream, too, where they got a bunch of the actors and actresses together and did a table read of it for charity. I need to watch that.
I watched it on my own, didn't like it at all, and then you lent it to me.
Yeah.
And I watched it again, didn't hate it quite as much. But was so upset when I realized that the end of this show came from that movie.
That's funny.
God damn it, Chuck!
Was this movie based on a comic or a video game? Or is it a video game based on a comic?
The movie is based on the comic.
Okay.
And they did make a video game based off of the comic as well to coincide with the movie, which was awesome.
But basically, he's living inside of a video game.
That's what I used to tell everybody. It's like if a video game and a rock concert and a kung fu movie or an anime had a baby.
Okay.
I really don't like that Michael Cera, though. He's
always going to be the kid from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, too, seeing the first couple minutes of that table read, he's got that mustache goatee thing going on. And, like, Michael Cera is going to look like Michael Cera forever. Yeah. Like, he's never going to actually grow up.
Is it
into an adult,
or is it still that mustache he was rocking in that one movie where he played like
a pencil
character, and then he played like the evil version of the character?
It's like
a mustache.
Pencil stash, but then he's got a little bit of growth down here. Like, not like I've got a whole bunch of. Look at this, I got so much white. My beard. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's a perfect one.
Seen that a bunch of times.
I was looking at the chat.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah. It's not like a high on my list, but yes.
Right. Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I've seen that. It's good.
On the rewatchable, though, no.
Yeah. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
I'm going to know on any kind of Harry Potter movie.
Yeah.
That's a yes on me.
There you go.
I forgot. Yeah, you are a pothead.
I am a pothead.
The Star Wars
Harry pothead.
The Star Wars trilogy is kind of a given.
Yeah, absolutely.
Snatch.
Yeah, I love Snatch.
I honestly don't know if I've ever seen Snatch.
Snatch is... probably one of my favorite Guy Ritchie films.
Okay.
I honestly like Lock, Stock more.
I like it too.
But Snatch is good.
I think Snatch because it's the first time I've seen a Guy Ritchie film done that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went back and watched Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, I was like, oh my God, Guy Ritchie is so good.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is because I know I saw Lock, Stock before I saw Snatch.
Yeah.
And maybe it's whatever Guy Ritchie film you saw first is probably your favorite because you've never seen somebody put a movie together like that.
Yeah, and I feel like he took a dive after that because Rock and Rolla was never as good. And then he started doing stuff with Madonna.
Yeah, he did another movie called Layer Cake that was...
Oh, yeah, Layer Cake was just okay.
Yeah, but it's a bit like, Zack Snyder, where it's like his first couple of outings, you're like, this is pretty neat.
Yeah, I think there's just so much time and effort put into the script and the story, and it just translated perfectly to film.
Right.
And then the other stuff, you probably just didn't have the time and the energy and the love. You know, those first films were probably made with love.
Probably. How about Superbad?
I'm kind of over that movie. I could rewatch it, but I think... so many bro dudes.
You think you wore it out?
Crap out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, McLovin.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I give it a no because I feel like it's not so much could I rewatch it, it's like it's on and I've got to see it.
Gangsters, what's up?
Yeah, so I'm giving that a no.
Shut up, McLovin.
It was good.
I'm glad I got a no from Al because I know I'm getting a yes on this one. Lord of the Rings.
No.
That's I love Lord of the Rings, but.
You rewatching it? Is it one of your most rewatched movies, Al?
I give it an eh.
That's also the response our listeners of this podcast give it. When they go to rate it.
That's more people would rate us on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts if instead of stars you could just rate us eh.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah.
And it's rated, not horrible. It's eh.
Yeah.
Rated eh for mildly entertaining.
Yeah.
Critics say I've had worse times.
The original Alien movie.
I know I've seen it, but I don't.
I watched it just recently. Just the other day I watched that. As far as like rewatchability, I'm going to give it a no. Like I don't feel like I need to keep watching it again and again. But I will say this, that the Alien holds up. It still looks cool as hell.
Hell yeah.
Like I'll give it that. Yes. Yeah. Holy crap, does it still look good?
Yeah, I don't think it's on this
but like
list.
The storyline behind the movie, like I'd rather watch one of the other ones in the series. But so rewatchability, not necessarily, but it holds up. It's cool.
I don't know that it's on this list, but the original John Carpenter The Thing from the 80s. Mm-hmm. I've watched that a bunch of times, and that's another one where like those effects still hold up.
Yeah. Kurt Russell, right?
Yeah. Still terrifying. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? I have never seen that movie.
I've never seen it either.
Never have. Probably never will.
No idea. Shrek?
Nah.
I could watch Shrek again, but I'm not, you know, like, yeah, I'm not
put
for
it total, like, top rewatchability.
As a child, maybe.
That was at the end of it. Are there any movies that weren't on the list for you guys personally? I know the Back to the Future series, I just, like, last week watched those again.
One that would not be on my list, but I had to bring up is because of all of us in the room. But when we did this on the morning show, one of the first ones that came up was Blade Runner. And you and I both, Chuck, just do nothing but fall asleep when we try to watch that movie.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. So this whole room, like, I tried
watching it twice.
Yeah. I was talking to Chuck the Freak about it when we did this on the show because he loves that movie.
Yeah.
And I tell him, like, I keep trying because I know, like, nerdy people love that movie. It's, like, such a huge cult classic. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it was just slightly before my time. Like, if I was, you know, 10 years older, like if I was Chuck's age, maybe. Well, then again, Chuck, you're right in that age range.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
So I don't know. I don't know what it is. That movie just doesn't connect with me. But I still feel like I got to try it again. If I need a nap, I'll put it on.
The original or the remake, whatever. I can't watch either one. I fall asleep. Either one.
My buddy Tim is a huge, he loves Blade Runner. He's from Bathroom of the Future, the singer from Bathroom of the Future. And I've told the story on Nerd Radio before, but it was one of those movies that I'm like, this is a pillar of nerddom. This is a pillar of cinema. I need to know what this movie is about. And put it on, and 10 minutes in, fell asleep. And then tried about 2 or 3 weeks later and got 10 minutes farther than I did the last time and fell asleep.
Yeah. And you know what? It frustrates me that I don't get into that movie because, like you said, it is a pillar of nerddom.
Right.
It absolutely is. And I'm not fighting that. It's true,
especially,
but for some reason, I just cannot get into
it. Especially if you're a nerd of a certain age.
Yes.
That age being older than you and about my age.
Yeah.
Then, like, you need to have seen Blade Runner. You need to have seen Dune. Mm-hmm. You need to have seen, you know, Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm. And Labyrinth. Now, that's a good one.
And all these other movies. Princess Bride, I've seen a bunch of times.
Yeah, I've seen that quite a few times, too.
I saw that. That came up on the Reddit feed as well.
Yeah. Or the Ghostbusters movies.
Obviously. Oh, Ghostbusters? Yeah, one, two. It's a given. You know what? Honestly, I could probably watch the remake with the women over again. Like, I just enjoyed that because I felt like I was watching a movie version of the cartoon just with gender swap, you know? A movie that's not on the list that I could rewatch anytime, Grandma's Boy.
Okay.
Which is a stoner video game comic.
Yep. Yeah. Would you say that's your number one? I want to go around the room, and if you don't have an answer, that's fine. But do you have a number one? Maybe it's even come up already. A number one rewatchable movie. And the way I gauge it is if it's on, I lack the ability to turn it off. And I have to see it through to the end. Like
Grandma's Boy would be mine.
Grandma's Boy is yours.
I'll watch it anytime. If I'm like, you know what? I want to watch a movie. I will put that in and watch it. I don't know what it is about that movie. But I love it. I think it's so funny and it's so entertaining, and I can watch it anytime. If I'm in a bad mood, put it on.
I don't know what the name of the actor is. The guy that with the monkey.
Oh, one of the Adam Sandler crew guys. Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was Tony Danza when I saw Grandma's Boy.
He looks like Tony.
He looks like Tony Danza, stoner Tony Danza.
I know. Yeah. I don't know them from that movie, but I know him in.
Yeah.
I know him in like Big Daddy, and
he's one of the gay lawyers in Big Daddy.
Yep. What about you, Chuck? Do you have a number one?
Oh, it's got to be Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim?
Like, off the top of my head, yeah. If I'm clicking through and Comedy Central's got Scott Pilgrim in, well, I know what I'm doing for the next hour and a half.
Yep.
I think mine might actually be Forrest Gump.
Yeah?
Wow.
Because I saw that was in the Reddit thread.
Dude, I cannot. Like, I did not see that coming. I know, like, probably people think the MASH movie. But
I figured you could say White Christmas or whatever. old-timey classic.
But no, I think Forrest Gump may be like the movie that sucks me in the most. I love that movie so much.
I feel like one of the precepts of this, too, is it has to be a movie that doesn't feel like an investment. Like we mentioned the Lord of the Rings movies or some of the other movies like Goodfellas where it's like, oh, man, I don't know if I got 3 hours for that.
Absolutely.
And because there are absolutely movies like
those movies you listed to me feel like an investment.
Right.
Yeah. Goodfellas, I have to invest some time. Lord of the Rings, I have to invest some time.
Goodfellas, like I watch Goodfellas more than I watch Lord of the Rings. But, yeah, even that one's like, it's kind of a long movie. Lord of the Rings, I wish they weren't so long because I love those movies. I think he did a great job. But, of course, being a nerd, I had to get the extended versions. Each movie is goddamn 4 hours long. Like, when do you have 4 hours?
Right. And a lot of the Marvel movies fall under this purview of, like, yeah, if it's on, I'll watch it again. I'll watch the Captain America series. I'll watch
a lot of them is still an investment in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
But that's what I was going to say. The Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns.
Yep.
Like, I love all three of them. The whole trilogy, Man with No Name trilogy.
Yeah, Fistful of Dollars for a few dollars more, and Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
They are an investment, man. Yeah. They're
I've
like
probably seen the Good, Bad, and the Ugly. The other two.
Yeah, which is funny because if you saw either of the other two, you have seen that plot in something else.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
It's much like when I saw Scarface for the first time, I was like, oh my god, I knew Grand Theft Auto ripped off this movie. I didn't realize how much
scene
for
scene,
that game had ripped off, and it's the same thing. Like
every mission was a plot point in the movie Scarface. Hmm.
Yeah, the main plot of both For a Few Dollars More and A Fistful of Dollars is something. I was like, oh, I've seen this.
Yeah,
I know how the. I mean, I don't know how this movie ends, but I've seen this plot before.
You can predict it. I can make an educated guess.
Right. All right, well, that's all I got for this week's Nerd Radio.
Nice.
So it's been great to be back in the Checkpoint XP studios. Thank you, everybody, on the Twitch stream that tuned in Wednesday at, 11:30, 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can... Now that we've done this once, it'll go smoother next time.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't done it in about 3 months. But find us on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, and we're on YouTube at NerdRadio101. You can find James with the Checkpoint XP guys.
Yeah. CheckpointXP.com for more information. You can find out if we're airing on a radio station near you. The nationally syndicated show is on 60 stations in North America, Canada, and America. So you can find out if we're airing on a station near you. Detroit listeners, you can hear us on Riff HD2 101.1.
Right. And Al was letting us know that you can find us in Boston and in Florida now.
That's right. And, of course, here in Detroit, WRF.com. Rock929rocks.com in Boston and 96K Rock in Fort Myers.
Yeah, I just remembered as we were wrapping up, too, I wanted to give a shout-out to my buddy Ricky, who had me on his podcast last week, Spoiler Force podcast. So, you know, it's not like you have a shortage of Chuck Bean to listen to, but there's an episode of Spoiler Force, if you go on Facebook and find it, that you can also hear me talking about comic books and stuff.
You can hear you talk about music, too, on WRIF. What is that?
Yeah. Yeah,
Monday through Saturday.
Monday through Saturday, 7 to midnight. So,
the last 20 minutes of this podcast brought to you by Shameless Plugs.
Yes, well, hey, absolutely.
I'm trying to get more people to listen, Al.
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have yourself a fun nerd week. Maybe New Mutants will come out.
Nope.
Maybe it won't. Never going to see that goddamn movie.
Chuck, there's a trailer for
you. Never going to see this freaking movie.
All right.
Stupid COVID.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
That's just the way it is. Things are never going to change.
I wish I had a piano right here so I could...
That would be sweet.
That's just the way it is. Things are never going to change.
Oh, Jay, Pepsi Man says, fuck you, Albeck.
Hey!
Some things will just never change. What's up, Pepsi Man?
That's just the way it is.
You know what? Each and every one. I'm just kidding.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.